scumbags and scumbagettes, that song you just heard was yet another excerpt of a song by the patron saint of the Scumbag Diaries, the immortal Bill Hicks, entitled Waiting on You. Guy's got lots of talent, musically, comedically, jack of all awesome. Today's episode is entitled Scumbag Star Wars. We have a very special guest. My friend Zachary Budd is going to join us and talk about the Sith and various scumbags throughout the universe of Star Wars. And being that this place is in fact a wretched hive of scum and villainy, I thought it was a fitting topic, and no one I know has more of a wealth of information about this topic than my friend Zachary Budd. He is also an expert swordsman, onion grower, and pretty much just all-around genius and a wonderful guy. Before I actually get into the episode, though, I'm not going to do any entertainment news or anything. I just want to talk about the podcast a little bit. I am getting lots of positive reviews, a little bit of criticisms. I am being engaged by a lot of the listeners. Granted, most of them are friends of mine that are actually talking to me, but that's fine. It's kind of blowing my mind that so many people are willing to take up 30 minutes to an hour of their time to listen to me go on about a bunch of nonsense, and that's kind of cool that I'm essentially a part of everyone who listens to this podcast life for 30 minutes to an hour, regardless of whether I know them or not. And I appreciate people taking the time out to join me and listen to me ramble on about these things. I had someone ask me if I had a Patreon or anything. I don't. I don't want to start charging people for creative content when I don't have enough or have content that I feel worthy of selling. You know, I want to get to a point to where I'm actually good and I remember dates correctly and can finish an entire paragraph of sentences without stumbling over words. You know, I want to make it as smooth. I want to get the equipment and have the audio as clean as possible before I start doing things like that. If you do want to make a monetary donation to the podcast, however, there is a link under the description of the episode on all of the streaming platforms to my Anchor page, where you can sign up to make a donation or be a sponsor of the show. And if you want to do that, that would be awesome too. Like I said, I'm trying to get the equipment together to improve the podcast as much as I possibly can. And with that being said, I also would like to announce that I am starting another podcast with my friend Chris Tyree, a.k.a. DJ Hypical Tippy from the last episode of the Scumbag Diaries. It's going to be called Talkin' Real, and it's going to be a 420 movie podcast, so people should enjoy that. We're just going to get stoned, watch movies, and then get stoned and talk about movies. And I think, you know, it's going to be a lot less intense and a lot less important. I don't want to say important because movies are important, but a lot less heavy topics and stuff on that podcast. It's just going to be a really good time. But with that being said, we'll go ahead and get into the Scumbag Star Wars episode. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to my guest, Zachary Budd.
Hello, Zachary. Can you hear me, my friend?
I can. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, man. How are you?
I'm great. Fantastic. I'm ready to do this.
That's awesome. Welcome to the Scumbag Diaries. I am really, really excited about this episode.
It's been one in the making.
It has indeed. I'm super stoked about it. Now, I will admit at the beginning of this that my Star Wars knowledge is mild to moderate, but I don't know if I know anyone with a larger wealth of knowledge of pretty much all of the canons than yourself.
Well, I do have a lot. Most of my knowledge is like mostly just based off of the legends, and then Disney came in and they did their own thing. But I know a little bit about Disney because I've watched the movies.
Okay. Well, I mean, we don't even have to.
Most of my stuff is from legends.
I think that's the better stuff anyway. And I don't even think, for the sake of the podcast, if you want to differentiate between the like movie lore and the like larger expanded universe, we can. But if not, fuck it. We can just talk about it as, yeah, I'm down with that. I guess to get right into it, It's called Scumbag Star Wars, so I guess we should start out with who do you think is the most prominent scumbag in the entire series?
Okay, so I thought a lot about this, and I think it's Sheev Palpatine, Emperor Palpatine.
Okay.
But when I was bouncing ideas off people before the podcast, I was like, who do you think it is? Who do you think it is? And everybody was like, anybody from the Sith category. And I was like, now, is it anybody, though? Because a lot of the Sith Lords were pretty noble people, but I'm going to explain. Palpatine, though, was the biggest scumbag in the Star Wars universe.
I agree.
But the reasons why is because when Darth Bane took over the Sith, well, the Sith legend, pretty much, and he made the rule of two, he basically was trying to get to build the power of the Sith, because the idea was that the weakest Sith would die and a stronger Sith would live. And so they would train a stronger apprentice and a stronger apprentice and a stronger apprentice until the epitome of the Sith became the creature that could destroy the Jedi. And so that ultimate Sith Lord was actually supposed to be Palpatine's master, Darth Plagueis. Now, Darth Plagueis set up the entire Clone Wars. He set up Master Sifo-Dyas to go and bring in a clone army. Granted, he did some of it through Palpatine, because he was Palpatine's master, and he had Palpatine join the Senate as part of the plan for him to become the Emperor. Like, it was all part of the plan.
Closely connected. I didn't realize that it was that, like, that, Palpatine was behind all of it, honestly.
No. Palpatine, once everything was in play and the ball was rolling and Clone Army was being made, Palpatine just became Chancellor. That night Palpatine became became Chancellor, he and Plagueis were celebrating because they started their plan, like this was going to be the end of the Jedi. And when they were drinking and getting drunk, Darth Plagueis, he'd already like mastered life and death at this point, was drunk and his wine was drugged. And he was passing out, and Palpatine gets up and he uses Force Lightning and just shocks as much power as he can to his master. And his master doesn't even lift a finger to stop him, can still fight him off, and just dares his apprentice to try to kill him as he tried to control his own life and death.
Holy shit.
But he failed. He died.
Oh, damn.
Like, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He didn't have perfect control yet. He wasn't ready. But he should have, if he had been able to do that, Palpatine wouldn't have happened. The Plagueis' entire plan would have gone off. Not as good, because there would be nobody to take the throne. Because Plagueis was just going to rule in the background. He's just going to have Palpatine to be his princess forever.
Hmm.
But he wiped him out. And then Palpatine took over, finished the whole thing, almost wiped out all the Jedi. And then ultimately failed to wipe out the Jedi and failed to stop the Chosen Ones from bringing balance to the Force. And the Chosen One being Anakin Skywalker, that is. But that's a whole other thing. But dies. And then 30 years later down the road, well, I guess this is where we split off into from Legends to the new universe.
Okay.
That Disney has created. Because in the new universe, the whole, like, Palpatine has risen again by the end of it, the very last bit of it. He's alive. And he's been orchestrating this whole new empire thing. And he had influenced Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, to turn to the dark side from wherever the hell he was hiding, and orchestrated the whole fall of Jedi. So not only did he wipe out the Jedi once, this man wiped out the Jedi twice. Twice.
And
he's really fucking good at this shit.
Damn, man. So did he survive physically? Or like?
No. Okay, so when Emperor, then this goes in both canon and non-canon.
Okay.
I guess because because in Legends he does the same thing and he comes back again, but Luke stops him in Legends. Like, Luke stops him, or I guess technically Leia stops him, because he influences Luke to turn to the dark side, and Leia convinces him to turn back to the light side. And okay, so basically, I just realized this, holy shit. Okay, so basically, The Force Awakens is Disney's take of what happens in Legends, because in Legends, Leia gets trapped by Emperor Palpatine to serve the Sith, and Leia convinces him to join back to the light side and fight the Emperor.
Is that around the time? Is that when the he had like a clone also?
Yeah, so that's how he survives, is he clones himself through the Kamino Sciences, because he kidnaps them and hides them away before the battle of before the Clone Wars ends.
Okay.
Palpatine does a number of terrible things, like even small things, like he kidnaps a clone scientist and a biological scientist during the Clone Wars, and the clone scientist, he hides away and has him like trying to, I can't remember exactly what she's doing. She's either trying to perfect unlimited life or something, because she's the science Kosai, I think is her name, and she is a geneticist that determined how to make the clones age twice as fast so they could grow them faster, so she could learn how to slow down time for people aging as well, if that made any sense.
It does.
Okay, well, he has her kidnapped, or he was looking for her, and some other clones and some clone commandos and their sergeant got to her first and took her information and took her data, and then she killed herself, and then they started sending her body parts to the Emperor like every year or so.
Star Wars is really dark.
Oh, okay, so that's the Mandalorians, and I know just about everything about the Mandalorians. I love the Mandalorians. It's my favorite part of the Star Wars universe.
The only question I have prepared for you at all, because I was just going to freeform the whole
Okay.
thing, but the only question I prepared has to do with Mandalorians and the fact that, according to George Lucas, which I don't really know how much his opinion holds sway nowadays, but according to him, Jango Fett was not a Mandalorian. He just basically, like, culturally appropriated the Mandalorians. But.
Okay, so there is that in the sense that he's not a natural born Mandalorian.
Okay.
But in that regard, every Mandalorian that's alive to the point that Jango Fett is alive is no longer original Mandalorian either.
Okay.
Because what happened is the Mandalorians were an actual race and they had this lifestyle, their political views. Which Mandoa, the Mandalorian spirit, which is basically like family is everything, clan is everything, honor is everything. If you have no clan, you have no honor, and you have nothing. You're soulless. You have no soul. So everything for the clan, everything for Mandaloria. And so the idea is that anybody can be Mandalorian, and once you join, your past is forgotten. You've got a new slate. Who you are from the point you became a Mandalorian is what you are. That's all they're going to see you as.
That is appealing.
So, Jango Fett was adopted by the man, like the Mandalore of the Mandalorians. The Mandalore is their leader, I guess, in a symbolic way. Like, he can tell them what to do, but Mandalorians do whatever the fuck they want
But they don't have
to
to
a certain
listen if they
degree.
don't want to.
They don't. Well, he can issue. I mean, like, the Mandalore is the strongest warrior of them all. So, I mean, you're really pushing it if you're gonna, say no to him. I mean, they can say no. They generally don't. And if he gives them suicide orders, they just won't do it. But unless there's a reason for it.
What do you think about
But yeah.
the Disney Plus TV show, The Mandalorian?
I really enjoy it. I really do enjoy it. I don't, because it's Disney's take on the Mandalorians, I don't like what they've done with it. Like, they
Okay.
can never take their helmet off. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's another thing. Is that a part of
No, that no 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 no. Like, Mandalorians, when they work undercover, they take their armor off because, nobody's seen them without their fucking mask on. They're perfect. They're their own perfect spies.
Yeah, they sort of just like wrote themselves out of a bunch of badass episodes.
Pretty much.
I didn't know that.
Pretty much.
But I guess that's sort of what Disney does. The source material, we'll just tie ourselves to it loosely.
The funny thing is they wrote Mara Jade out of the movies, pretty much. Like, she's supposed to become Luke's wife.
Mm-hmm.
But she started out as the Emperor's Hand, one of the Emperor's four sensitive assassins.
So she was a badass as well.
Yeah, she could track. She can track you across the galaxy and then murder you while you're sleeping.
Holy crap!
Yeah, like she can find you from wherever you are. She can find you and then kill you.
That's insane. I really need to read some. I know the books are no longer canon, air quotes, but I feel like. You told me R.A. Salvatore actually wrote some of the expanded literary universe.
Yes,
right?
He wrote some of the Yuuzhan Vong Wars books, and also he did write. I think he wrote Attack of the Clones, the novel, or maybe it was Revenge of the Sith or somebody else. Maybe it's Phantom Menace. He wrote one of those books though, like his own interpretation of it, I guess. Or I don't know how he wrote it, but he wrote it. I think. I could be completely wrong, though.
That's fine. I have been completely wrong about at least one thing in damn near every episode I've recorded, so that's just accepted here. That's just part of the deal, man. People can Google everything if they want to, but I just hope that they assume I know what I'm talking about most of the time.
But that Mandalorian thing actually brings me to my second scumbag that I was thinking about.
Oh.
And I almost put him on in front of Palpatine, and that's Boba Fett.
Oh, I like, because I know he's, like, your homie, man. Like,
well,
he's
Boba Fett, he is the epitome. Okay, so Boba Fett is a pure genetic clone of Jango Fett.
Mm.
It's in the movies, well known. What they don't tell you is because he's a clone of Jango Fett, he deteriorates faster than a normal human.
Oh.
So, like, by the time he's 50 and 60, he has body parts falling off. And
oh,
they have
God.
To clone him replacement arms and legs and graft them on him.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Until he hears a rumor about some clones that should definitely be dead. Who may or may not have gotten on some aging science stuff and reversed themselves to immortality. Yeah,
and all the clones are essentially clones of himself, really. So they'd be compatible.
Yeah. Yes, any data that they had would be compatible. In fact, he finds one, a clone named Zhang, and he is one of the... Oh, no, where are they? They're the null class ARCs, Alpha Recon Commandos. I can't remember what the acronym is. Either way, they're like the top dogs. They're supposed to like give the battlefield orders. They're like just underneath Jedi in capability of commanding. But the null class were heavily tweaked clones of Jango Fett. So they were smarter, faster, stronger. And they could not be commanded to do anything. Like, no order. Like, there were 12 of them. 6 of them died in flash instructment. And flash instructment is what the clones went through on a daily basis. Basically, they didn't know what level they could take. So they accidentally killed 6 of them.
Damn.
As 3-year-olds.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, 3-year-old for clones, they had double lifespan, so there were 6. So at 6 years old, these kids watched 6 of their brothers die in front of them from flash bombs.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and then so they kind of like brought him out to Jango and his trainer, Kaos Garada, and he was like, all right, these clones we made, they're defective. We just wanted to see them before we decommission them. They just will not do anything you tell them to. And Kaos Garada told him that he wasn't going to kill the kids. And the kids, like, turned and ran to him and, like, clung on to him. The little one clung to his foot, and they're, like, holding on to him. And the one that's clinging to his foot grabbed the blaster from his boot, tossed it to the one that was standing in front of his brothers trying to protect him. And the kid caught the blaster and aimed the blaster at the scientist and was about to kill the scientist just like that. He didn't even think about it. A six-year-old.
Holy crap. And these are the guys that Jango, or that Boba Fett has to go. Oh, man.
Yes, Yes. And so this guy, Cal Scarada, like kind of steps in front of the kid and takes the gun from him and tells the community, "You're not killing these kids. I'm going to train them." And he trains them, and they become his sons way later down the road.
Holy crap. There's
And
so many
then,
integral, like,
oh,
interweaving parts of the expanded lore.
the Republic Commando books are by far the most fabulous book set of the Star Wars Legends. In my opinion, I suggest you read them. There's five of them. The last one's called Imperial Commando instead of Republic Commando because it happens right after Order 66. There is two Jedi in these books. One of them dies in Order 66. The other one becomes a Mandalorian. Just abandons, cuts
Damn.
ties completely, and becomes a Mandalorian. And he's one of the only Mandalorian Force sensitives.
Holy crap. Now, if you
And he's
become.
actually, he actually lives all the way to the, like another 60 years after that. He's like 90 and still alive.
Are there any Mandalorians who've used lightsabers?
Yes, there are. Boba Fett is in fact a Mandalorian that uses a lightsaber.
And he became Mandalore eventually, correct?
He basically inherited the position from his father.
Okay.
Basically. Like, it doesn't really work that way, but they like descendants of Mandalore to become the next Mandalore because, generally speaking, the offspring is going to be as powerful or pretty fucking close or better than the original Mandalore, and that's what they're looking for. Because they're not
That
like
makes sense.
traditional. Their leader, they need to make their leader strong enough that other people fear him and won't cross them. That's their whole idea of what a leader is.
What's the deal with Beskar armor? Because I only know about it from the Disney series.
Okay,
I
so
know that it's
Beskar.
resistant to lightsabers.
It is lightsaber proof in Legends.
Oh, shit.
Like, you can hold a lightsaber to Beskar and it'll singe the paint. Yeah. Yeah, it
That's
also makes
powerful.
them cannon bolt proof too. But if you get hit by a cannon bolt, the pressure's probably gonna kill you anyway. But yeah, Beskar can stop a cannon bolt.
Holy shit. And are there, I saw, is the, some of the weapons from the Mandalorian series piqued my interest, like the darts that he shoots that,
Oh,
like, just.
the silent birds or the birds of something. I can't remember. Those are
Yes.
cool. They're not part of a legend as far as I'm aware.
What's
Like,
up
I
with the
don't.
weird, the like vibratory butter knife that that one dude
Oh,
pulled out on guy?
that's a darksaber.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, that's a darksaber. I think the first time they even really mentioned that is in the Clone Wars. I think it's Cartoon Network that does that. It's Disney now. But it's the Clone Wars series. They had the darksaber, and it pretty sure it belongs to the Mandalore at one point in time. But at another point in time, Darth Maul comes in and takes it pretty much.
Whoa. That
Yeah.
was a mind, that was a mind fuck at the end of Solo.
Oh, I know. And I was so excited to watch a second one because it was going to explain so much about that. And then they're
Didn't
like, we're never
fuck
making another one of these. You all didn't
I
like
think
it.
that was the I think that was the only I haven't seen the last episodic Star Wars film, but I think that Solo was my favorite of the spinoff series by far. And I know Pig gets a lot of hate, but
Yeah.
Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian was beautiful.
Okay, so I was really excited when I heard they were casting Donald Glover for that. Not because I thought that he was going to be a good Lando Calrissian, mostly because I like him generally anyway. I was like, oh, that's going to be a great casting. I don't even care if he fucks it up, it's fine, it's fine. But he does such a good job playing Lando. He does such a good job. It's almost like, yeah, it's such a good job.
He sucked out Billy D. Williams' soul through a
It
straw and just held on
really
to it.
is. My favorite line that he does is when Han Solo is like, I heard a lot of stories about you, and he's like, everything you've ever heard about me is true.
And he did one of the biggest scumbag moves of Star Wars
Oh,
history.
he's on my list. He's
Okay,
on my
awesome.
list.
That's
He's
fantastic.
totally on my list.
Oh,
Like,
awesome.
Lando Calrissian. I'm gonna get through Boba Fett really quick, why I
All
think
right,
he's
go
a
ahead.
scumbag
I
in
brought
particular,
up good
and then
points,
we'll go to
so.
Lando. But Boba Fett, mainly because Boba Fett started life growing up in the Kamino, never even really knowing what Mandalore was or Mandalorians or anything like that. He just knew his father and the weird few sergeants that he hired. But then as he grew older, after his father died, he had to, well, he left. Well, he left, and he found this girl on Ord Mantell, I believe, and they got married, and they had a daughter, or she got pregnant, and he left before he knew she was pregnant. And they got divorced, and that's like one of the most shameful things you can do as a Mandalorian, because it's literally you abandoning your family.
Damn.
So anyway, he did that, and at 19 he did that. So he's 19 at that time. I think maybe he's 18 or 17. I don't know. He's really young. He got married like 16, maybe. Mandalorians generally marry young because, I mean, they're a warrior breed and they tend to die fast.
Yeah, not a long life expectancy for a Mandalorian.
No. In fact, I think Boba Fett's like one of the oldest ones. No, there's that Jedi. Never mind. Where was I? Boba Fett got married, abandoned his family, and then later on, as he started just bounty hunting, at some point he found the Mandalorians, and they realized who he was because he took off his helmet. He looks just like fucking Jango Fett. So they're like, "Oh, you're Jango Fett's son. You're definitely our Mandalorian." He was like, "I don't want to do that." And so for like 40 to 30 years after that, he just neglected his duties as Mandalore. Just didn't he just bounty hunted for 30. By the time he was 50 something, he was still by the time he was 60 something, he was still bounty hunting. But he's like aching and falling apart, but he's still crawling through air ducts and like killing people. Like, people still hire him and pay him a shit ton of money. He doesn't even need to work anymore. He has accounts all across the galaxy full of money. He just does it because people keep asking him to.
That's determination.
Right. But so
And this
later
was
on he
after he escaped the Sarlacc pit, too.
twice. Twice. He
Oh my
fell
God.
in twice. Yeah, he there's only one planet. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure there's only one planet you can find a Sarlacc pit. And he falls into the same one twice. Like, at some
Damn.
point, you just gotta stay away from Tatooine.
Yeah, learn your lesson, man. That's why I don't go back to Florida.
he later on, like in his 50s, he finds his granddaughter, great granddaughter, granddaughter. And he doesn't know who she is at the time, but he knows she knows who he is, and he's telling her, "Oh, no!" Before this, he finds his daughter again, his daughter, or for the first time. And his daughter just tries to kill him
Nice.
because he abandoned her mother. But she's Mandalorian too now, and so she spends a while trying to kill him, but ends up killing a clone that he had commissioned of himself. And like he hides and like he fakes his death by having her kill him. And then
There's
she
so
stops
much
coming after
drama.
him. Yeah, well, later on, his granddaughter comes to get him, and this is when Jason Solo, Han Solo's son, is like starting to make a name for himself in the military after the Yuuzhan Vong War. So, at some point, Corellia is like about to rebel against the Galactic Alliance, and Jason Solo is trying to quell the rebellion as the new colonel of the military forces of the Galactic Alliance. And somehow he gets his hands on Boba Fett's daughter while she's doing a bounty. Oh,
Oh
she's hunting
no.
her, she's hunting his parents. That's what it is. And Han Solo and Princess Leia. So he captures them in the middle of a bounty thing. And he has a dark side flash, if you will, and he kills her accidentally in interrogation.
Oh shit, that's not good for him.
No, Boba Fett has hunted down Han Solo and the fam multiple times, and he succeeded multiple times. Like, he very rarely fails. Not, I mean, that's
Oh shit.
impressive enough that he's like hunted him multiple times, but the fact that he survived every time he hunted down Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Leia and
That is
survived, I
impressive.
mean, it's impressive. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, he's definitely a force of nature. He's literally the epitome of Mandalorian warriorship.
But on occasion, he and Han have teamed up before, right?
Okay, so they team up twice. You might say twice. I'm gonna say twice just for shits and gigs. Okay, so the first time they teamed up was an accident in Yuuzhan Vong War, and Han Solo is in this floating city and it's getting fucking just mauled by, like, Yuuzhan Vong are everywhere. They're just pouring into this flying city and they're trying to fight everybody out into these rescue ships. So question, do you know who the Yuuzhan Vong are?
You have told me the Yuuzhan Vong War story before, but I
Okay.
definitely, it's pretty fuzzy.
Brief overview. A bunch of an alien species comes from the outer rim or beyond the outer rim. Instead of having technology to fly, they use biotech, so all their weapons and armor and ships are alive.
Okay.
And they can't be felt in the Force.
That's, I remember that. I remember you telling me about that.
Okay, so basically, these guys, and they hate technology, so their idea is destroy all technology. So floating city is a big no-no. So they're up here destroying the city, and Han Solo, and I think Lando's with them actually, and Chewbacca and a couple others are trying to get everybody out onto different ships and fly them off, as many as they can carry. And in the middle of this firefight in this hallway, like six Mandalorians come rocketing up with their jetpacks, and they're like clinging to the ceiling, and they're firing missiles down into the Yuuzhan Vong hordes as they're like, coming on board. And then they're just like slaughtering these six guys are like holding these horde of Yuuzhan Vong warriors who kill Jedi for funsies, off. Well, they can't all kill Jedi for funsies, but like four or five Yuuzhan Vong warriors can usually take out a Jedi.
Damn.
Because they can't be felt in the Force.
That is a pretty huge advantage, man.
Yeah. Like Jedi rely on that and that kinda like just cripples them. But then afterwards, like Han's like, oh, that was crazy. Just random Mandalorians are helping us fight this, and then they leave and the Falcon's like trying to get out before their ships can suck them in. And the Slave One and three other Mandalorian ships fly past and blow up ships and basically allow the Falcon to escape and then vanish themselves. And Han's just looking out the window and goes, I think that was Fett. I guess it's not the Slave One, it's the Slave Two. He loses the Slave One at some point and buys another skip fire spray and paints it in the same color scheme.
The Slave One and the Slave One, the Falcon, and the Death Star, and I don't know Vader's ship, but those four are like the most iconic ships in the series that spring to
Oh,
my mind, really.
so Vader actually has two ships. If we're talking about his big Star Destroyers, the first one is, I can't remember Vader's flagship's name. That's terrible. The second one is definitely the Super Star Destroyer.
That's a big mama too.
That's Big Mama. It's big enough to house three regular Star Destroyers, I think. Or four, maybe. It's big. I'm pretty
Let's
sure
see
that's
if
how
I
bad. I'm
can.
pretty sure you're gonna house Star Destroyers. It's been a while since I looked at that thing.
The Death Star is his ship called the Executor?
Yes! Yes. The Executor is his flagship.
That's awesome. But the Death Star is technically, is it, would it be classified as a ship or a space station?
It is a space station, technically,
Okay.
but it does have the rare commodity of a space station to have is a hyperdrive, which means it can fly through light speed, which is fucking crazy.
That is crazy as fuck.
Because basically, what they're doing is they're moving a planetoid at hyperspace without it falling apart. Which means basically they could attach that propulsion system to a moon and transport a moon through space.
But one womp rat sized hole, this is their downfall.
Yeah, well, you know, design flaws happen every day. And that was a big one. That was really just overlooked.
What should we do about this whole, fuck it, leave it. It'll be all right.
It's fine. I mean, it does need exhaust ports. And it does need exhaust ports. It really does. But the fact that the exhaust ports are just a straight line to the reactor is a big design flaw. Like, no kinks in there.
You probably can't sacrifice efficiency when you're trying to do that, though. So I guess it makes sense. But, you know, damn.
Just one zigzag would have saved everything.
It's so interesting that I don't even really, when I think about Star Wars, and this is weird, I don't even really think of the space aspect. Like, I think of, it's like sort of secondary to the whole thing, but they're just out flying around in giant ships blowing each other up. But for some reason, my brain only thinks of, like, the lightsaber fights and the dialogue.
Yeah. The lightsaber fights were, like, the big thing about the first three. Or not the first three, the second three. The prequels. I love the lightsaber fights in the prequels.
Yeah.
They're so much showier, especially Yoda. Yoda was a badass.
And that's where the whole Mace Windu, just because Sam Jackson wanted to see himself in the fight scenes, there was a whole other lightsaber form that got created in the fandom. Or not the fandom, but the lore. And I think that's kind of cool.
The interesting about Vapod, though, that's the seventh form, is that because he requested it, that lore got put in the back. And that is actually the seventh form. But Jedi generally don't use it. There's only been three that ever use it, or two that's only ever use it. Oh, wait, no, I'm fucking that up. There's a seventh form, but Pad is a splinter style off that seventh form.
Okay.
But there's two or three Jedi that use Vapod. But actually, a buddy of mine wanted Mace Windu to be put on my list because he courts the dark side using that style. But I was thinking about it, and I mean, yes, he does do that, but it's more like in the same way that a snake whisperer, like, somebody who deals with dangerous animals kind of, like, just, you know, deals with dangerous animals. Like, the people that walk in the lion enclosures, like, those people scare the shit out of me. Why would you do that?
That makes sense. And it's pretty much the same moral dilemma as in Doctor Strange when the, like, Ancient One was siphoning energy from Dormammu to keep every other dimension safe.
Yes.
Like, that's, like, he definitely did a lot of good by channeling the dark side.
Yes. But at the same time, the point is that he used his dark side for strictly for good. I mean, he used the dark side of the Force without allowing to touch him.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna. I was wondering about him. Is I wondered if through channeling the dark side, did that like violate any tenets of the Jedi? Because I imagine he liked whooping the shit out of people. Like I imagine he felt joy in like beating the absolute shit out of people.
That's the thing. He would use the dark side and do that to people. But he never felt anything but peace and love about it. Or not love, but, like, he was calm, centered. There's no emotions. There's only the Force. And he would just, like, no emotionally beat the shit out of people. Which, in my mind, is scarier than him enjoying it. Because he's like, I'm sorry, this is for the greater good. I have to do this.
Oh, man. Damn.
I'm gonna end it as efficiently as I can, so I don't have to deal with this for too long. But I'm gonna do it.
Whoa, that's an interesting insight, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's basically I guess all Jedis are like they're basically space paladins.
That's exactly what they are. Yoda is an interesting character for the Jedi too, because Me and Kyle, my buddy Kyle, I mean, you know Kyle. Me and Kyle were talking about it, and we were like, at some point, Yoda had to pile on the scales his entire race in the Jedi Order. Because that's the only thing we can think of, that there are no other of his species around.
Whoa.
And he very clearly chose the Jedi Order. Like, before Yoda, there are numerous of his species as Jedi Master. There's a Jedi Master that has the ability to wield six lightsabers in the Force. And that's how he lightsaber fight. He just sent his six lightsabers out to fight for him.
With like ethereal arms.
No, yeah, like just telekinetically, just fighting like with the strength of like in our swinging arm,
And now
like a
Yoda's
magic.
the only. Is there a name for his race? I know George
No,
Lucas,
there's no name.
he said he
There's
doesn't
no
want to leave
name.
open to interpretation. And the only other people of his race I can think of are Yaddle or
Yep.
Yodel
Yaddle, Yaddle.
and Baby Yoda. Who
Yep.
I don't like, the child, I guess, is a more apt name.
Yeah, the child, but Baby Yoda is like the common vernacular, and I say it a lot because he's baby fucking Yoda. I'm half convinced. I'm half convinced he's a clone.
I hope so, because he's super, but that baby is like 30 something years old, right? That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, like,
Yoda
that's
was
such
old as shit when he
slow,
died.
that's like a super slow mental development, but he's
Yeah.
already wicked crazy force powers.
So, yeah, I'm not sure because there's no real ever story of Yoda growing up, so I don't know how long it takes him to mature, like completely. But already, he clearly has, even though he can't talk, he clearly has the ability to know that somebody's in danger and then that he can do something about it and then he can kill whatever the fuck he wants to kill because he does
True.
that. It does that. It does that. My point is that the baby has the ability to choose right and wrong, yes and no, defend or no defend, or I mean, he's making conscious decisions.
And he
So,
just goes
like,
straight savage on a lizard.
yeah, and he get a lizard, a frog. I think there's some kids that shame him about that, and he spits it out, and he's like really embarrassed. Like, why do you guys not eat frogs? Okay, sorry, guys.
In contrast to that, like, wild animal, I'm gonna rip this thing's head off and eat it. He, like, just, like, sips the bone broth.
Yeah. Just watching people fight, like, hey, you guys done yet? Or,
Bone broth is really good. Yeah.
there's this scene where the Mandalorian and that woman he's fighting in outside the cantina are in an arm wrestle, and like Baby Yoda's just watching them, and he like thinks, I guess, that she's attacking him, and he just straight up like starts force choking her.
Now that's
the
is that is a force choke a dark side only thing? Because that raised some questions.
I mean, yeah, I think that it's really just telekinesis.
Okay.
Like, a lot of what they do is just telekinesis. And, like, well, I mean, some of the stuff they do, like, the Force Lightning is, I mean, that's Force Lightning. I don't know what that is. And they have some other abilities, but a lot of it, to me, is just a telekinesis. The Force push, the Force pull, I mean,
I guess it
in
really
fact,
could all just be boiled down to that. Even the lightning, if they like telekinetically vibrated the atoms
I
and
mean,
shit.
yeah, that's a possibility, but that doesn't explain Sith sorcery,
Okay.
and it doesn't explain the Sith life drain ability,
Have you
which
played the
could.
new I keep going off on tangents because I'm a really shitty podcast host. But have you played the? We'll get back on track after this. Have you played the new video game?
Yes. It's very good. The cinematics are good. The story is decent. Actually, it's really, really quite decent. I just found the combat to be a very repetitive eventually. Like much combat is. I mean, I did enjoy the ability to fight stormtroopers and just deflect their bullet fire back at them and grab missiles out of the air and throw them back at them. But eventually, it just gets to the point where I just walk through an area. I'm like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. I'm just going to choke you. Throw my lightsaber. You're dead.
You get full-blown OP real fast in that game. Just like Force Awakens.
Yes, it really. I mean, it really just play. That's just really how Star Wars games generally play. So, either way, let's get back to topic.
Yeah, go back to it.
Okay, so Boba Fett, pretty much, I just think he's a scumbag because he ignored his family, and just basically ignored his entire people until it was convenient for him, and then he goes back and decides to take the leadership thing. I try, and then he becomes an actual leader. But I still think he's, like, wasted a good 50-something years of his life being a scumbag, pretty much.
I completely fucked up a whole story, and I just remembered it. Does he ever get to those three clones and solve the rapid deterioration?
He finds one of the six. One of the six actually finds him, because he's like, dude, I heard you guys were looking for us, so I'm here. You're not going to find us otherwise. We're going to be gone before you can find us. But I'm here. What do you want?
That's true.
He was like, I want this healing serum. I want this aging serum stuff you got. And then he was like, I'm not going to do that. I really don't want to. There's nothing against you. I just don't want to do it. And then Boba Fett's like, I could order you to do it. And he's like, you could. And he goes, you know what, fuck it, we're going to give you the serum anyway, just because, and then hands him off. So, at some point, though, Jason Solo becomes Darth Kitus and pulls in the exiled Imperial forces into his banners, pretty much, and they develop a bacteria that will kill anybody with Fett DNA that lives on Mandalore.
Shit.
And so those clones and Boba Fett and anybody of Boba Fett's lineage can never go back to Mandalore.
Is he still the de facto leader, or does he have to just, like, okay, cool?
No, yeah. He becomes an actual leader, and then he starts, like, he never really embraced the culture, but he meets his granddaughter, and he finds out that Jason Solo killed his daughter, and that's a whole nother fucking story. That was not good. basically, in revenge, he trains Jason Solo's sister in the ways of fighting, in the ways of Mandalorian fighting, and then sends her to kill him.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's his twin sister, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like he, like, hoodwinked her or anything. He was like, I want to train with you. Or she was like, I want to train with you. And he was like, why do you want to do that? And she was like, I want to kill my brother. And he was like, I can help you with that.
That's awesome. That's such a, like, that's like a passive-aggressive revenge, too. Like,
it's the patient man's revenge right there.
Oh, my God, dude, that's crazy.
But it was also devastating for him because, like, Jason at this point is like, I didn't think you guys would betray me, but I've already had to kill Luke's wife, and now I'm going to have to kill my sister.
Holy shit. So he goes, like, full-blown baddie, like, no reservations.
Oh, yeah. Jason Solo becomes Darth Kitus at one point, and he becomes the next Darth Lord.
What a fucked-up bloodline the Skywalker lineage is.
Oh, it gets so much more fucked up than that. I mean, he, like, tries to, like, train Luke's son in the ways of the dark side, like, has him go on secret special missions and do dark shit, and eventually he's just like, you're not Jason anymore. I don't know who you are, but I'm not gonna follow you anymore.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay, so Boba Fett's closed. We're gonna jump over to Lando Calrissian.
Let's do it. The coolest
Now,
man in the galaxy.
Lando Calrissian is okay. So the young Han Solo movie, that Lando Calrissian, I really enjoy who he is in that. I mean, it's not really. I mean, Han does win the Millennium Falcon in a card game, in a Sabacc game, but they both cheat, and it's in the very first game, and they both cheat. Just Han just cheats better than him the first time, instead of getting caught in the cheating in the middle of it, and that's how that happens. They just switch there. But so Lando Calrissian makes his career by swindling people, everybody, anybody.
So
It's
he's just a
why
space grifter.
he has won and lost cities and planets, and like when he's talking about that shit, he's not kidding. He's done that.
Holy crap.
Like the Cloud City, Bespin, he won that in a game, and he became the owner.
I always wondered how he like went from being space scum to like I just assumed he was like the president of Cloud City or something.
He is. He got legitimate by winning a city in a game.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
He's so
like
interesting.
everything he's. But like very much like Han Solo, like Han Solo's on my list too. But once they meet a Skywalker, for some reason, swindlers and scumbags just fall in line. Like Han Solo would not be the man he is later on if he had not met Luke Skywalker in that bar in Mos Eisley's.
That's a really good point.
Like he would
That's
have
like a
just
really,
kept
really good
swindling
point.
spies for Jabba.
Yeah, he would have never grown at all.
At all, he would just been the same person.
And
Whether or not
Lando got
Kira
a pretty.
actually exists, though, Lando would have been, stealing one city after another.
That's so weird. And then, like this whole family started with basically like immaculate conception, but not in the
Oh.
way that Jesus happened, but like in a
Oh,
weird dark
no. Yeah, Darth Plagueis accidentally made Anakin Skywalker by
Darth
fucking with
Plagueis
life and
alive.
death. Yeah, Darth Plagueis the Wise accidentally fucking made Anakin Skywalker.
That's insane. So Anthony,
Okay, so
fuck me, that's crazy.
he was doing an experiment on life and death on this creature, and he managed to bring a dead creature back to life, and in or yeah, back to life, and in doing so, it was either on the ver no, it wasn't dead yet. It was on the verge of death. It was about to die. So he spent this time like killing things and then like focusing all of his force ability on it and just watching it die in the force so he can understand what happens at the end of it. And so he got curious and he just like reached out on the last spark of life that this animal had and made it grow with all his dark side ability, and he brought it to the brink from the brink of death back to life. And in that moment, the scales of the balance shifted heavily to the dark side, so the force created a being that would balance the force.
Whoa. So he like, so the real actual paragon of duality is Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, he literally was born to bring balance in the force. And if you think about it, he really did. Like, there were hundreds of Jedi, and he wiped them out till there was two of them. And then there was just two dark people and two light people. And it was fucking pretty balanced. And then Obi-Wan died, Vader killed him. And then Yoda died. And then Luke turned Anakin back to the light side. And Anakin killed his master and then died himself. Like there was only one Jedi left. One.
Damn.
Uno. Number one. So not completely balanced, because you kind of need light to balance out the darkness. and you can't have any darkness without any light. But the point is that the whole combat of the light side versus the dark side is non-ending, because you can't have one without the other. Because they're polar opposites. If one doesn't exist, and the other doesn't exist.
That's one of the things about the themes of Star Wars that I like.
Yes. That it's not so much that the idea is to snuff out the dark and just have light in the world, because not only is that impossible, it's also impractical. Too much light kills things. But that
deep.
The darkness is there, and this constantly struggling, the constant struggle of keeping light in the darkness is really more what it's about, because if everything is dark, then nothing gets to live, and everything is light, then nothing gets to live, and so there has to be a flux of both going back and forth, a balance of it, because we need both, a little bit.
That reminds me, there's a quote in the Matrix movie where Agent Smith is like, this isn't even the first time we've done this, Mr. Anderson. You created a utopia, but your tiny little brains couldn't handle that. You needed conflict. And that's, I think that's... But I'm going to get us off the rails again. Let's get back to Lando before I fuck up.
There's not much left to say about Lando. He just like later on in the books, he becomes a respectable person. He still cheats people out of their belongings, but usually for small stakes. Like, he doesn't win fortunes anymore. Doesn't have to. He has an arms company, Trandoja Arms, I believe is what it's called. And he takes over the mining of Kessel. And there's a bunch of other stuff he does. But he created during the Yuuzhan Vong Wars, so he could create weapons that could fight the Yuuzhan Vong, or it was already in company and he bought into it. Either way, he started making arms for the war and made a legitimate business. But he started out pretty corrupt.
That's awesome.
And then that leads to my next one, which is Han Solo.
My favorite. By far my favorite.
Yeah. So the big thing about Han Solo is, and I think it really attests to his character, and I didn't really think so when I first watched the movies, because I didn't know there was an alternative, but then they did the alternative, and that's whether or not Han Solo shoots first.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal to people.
It's a big deal. And it really, it attested the character of Han Solo in a major way. And I understand why they changed it if they wanted him to look more like a good guy. Because he was sitting there, and Greedo was talking to him, and in mid-speech, he shot him in the face.
Yeah, he didn't. Greedo didn't go for his gun or anything. Han just blew his brain out.
Greedo had his gun trained on Han. Like, he could have pulled the trigger at any time. Like, if he was going to shoot Han first, Han would have died.
Mm-hmm.
But because Han just pulled his gun out from underneath the table and shot him from under the table in his face, that really just says everything you really need to know about Han Solo.
And I like this thing. They kind of retcon, or they didn't retcon it, but after the controversy, when Solo came out, they were like, you know what, you can change whatever happened in the original movies, but Han's shooting first, motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, in the young Han Solo movie, he's like a bumbling kid, and he never became the pilot that he claimed that he was in the rest of the movies, but in Legends, he joined the academy and became a pilot, and eventually raised to the rank of captain, and he actually became something in the military, and then he saw Chewie, and it reminded him of something in his past, and he rescued Chewie from the slave gangs working on the Death Star, and I can't remember if he freed all the Wookiees or just Chewie, though. I think it was just Chewie, I can't remember, though. But either way, he saved him and, lost everything. He got court-martialed, lost everything. and he spent a lot of his time drinking and gambling after that. And he didn't even really like Chewie at the time, but Chewie's just following him around because, well, I mean, he's got a life that he's following him around.
Yeah, you don't really have a choice. He's going to follow you.
No, he's going to follow you. So, he didn't really like Chewie at the time until he, like, got in some bad water with a Trandoshan, I think. And, threatened to kill Han, pretty much. And Chewie, like, stepped in and, he either fucked the guy up pretty good. I don't think he did that, though. I think he just scared him and, like, ran him off because he was going to fight a Wookiee. But then after that, he appreciated Chewie way, way more. And they spent a lot of their time, like, swindling people. Like, Han was already a decent cheating at gambling type person when he met Lando. So he took some time to learn how to cheat at cards. And he also, like, smuggled spice for Crime Lord's Jabba the Hutt, primarily, is the one we all know about. But he, like, smuggled stuff across Imperial borders, hid stuff that needed to be hid. He never actually worked for the Rebel Alliance until he met Luke and Leia, which is surprising because a lot of smugglers were working for the Rebels at the time.
He was just about that bread, though.
No, he doesn't want to be entangled because he's already an Imperial fighter.
Oh, true.
Yeah, he didn't want to. Like, he wasn't even going to stay for the Rebellion when he found out who he was working for. Like, he was, like, at the end of the New Hope, like, he was keen to get out of there.
I, like, how do you feel about the fate of Han Solo? Because I was sitting next to you when we both saw it happen. And it was pretty intense. And I had predicted it earlier that day. On accident.
Yeah, I remember that. Han Solo's gonna die in this movie. I was like, no, he's not. They can't kill Han Solo.
I manifested that. That was a bad move. But fuck. I can't handle it.
So, in Legends, Han Solo doesn't die at all. No,
good.
Yeah, he survives.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, but he has one child left alive, and he is a broken man for a little bit. Like, his son, Anakin, he has three children, Jaina and Jason, which are the twins, and the third one named Anakin. And Anakin dies in the Yuuzhan Vong War, and Anakin dies just as he's discovering what it means to be a Jedi at 16. Like, he's already potentially, maybe not powerful enough or, like, had enough experience to be a Jedi Master, but he already has the philosophy of what it means to be a Jedi down by 16, like, at Master level. And he sacrifices himself to save entire Jedi Strike Force in the war. At 16, he makes the decision to stay back and make sure that everybody else can escape because it's the best choice that they have at the time. Because he's only 16, not nearly as powerful, and everybody else is strong enough to make a difference later on.
That's insane.
But
it feels like
him, and Han, like, kind of breaks down a bit for that. But then he has to pull himself back together because they're at war. And then Jaina has to kill Jason, so both of his sons are dead. And he's just, like, broken for a while, and he leaves. Chewbacca's dead, too.
Fuck, dude.
Oh, yeah, okay, so earlier on in the war, the Yuuzhan Vong drop a moon on the planet, and Han Solo and Anakin Solo and Chewbacca are on this planet, supposed to be dropping off resources for Lando on this planet, because the Yuuzhan Vong are coming. In the middle of that, they start dropping a moon down on the planet, and they're trying to rescue as many people as they can, and Anakin and Chewie go to save somebody, and this moon starts causing pressure waves to happen, so the ships are having a hard time staying up. And so Han flies the Falcon in, or somebody flies the Falcon in for Han. Han's on the boarding ramp trying to get to Chewie and Anakin as they're on top of this mountain of crumbling rubble. And Chewie throws Anakin into the hatch, into Han's arms, and Han sends him to the cockpit to fly the ship, because he can fly it better than the person flying it. And he's, like, trying to get closer to Chewie, and finally Anakin decides that the moon is going to crush them all if they stay, and he takes off, and his dad watches as he leaves Chewie behind, and Chewie's just, like, arms raised, like, howling at the moon as it crushes him.
What the fuck, man? That is an epic way to go.
And for that, Han Solo condemned his son Anakin to, like, basically for murder for leaving Chewie behind. After Chewie had just saved him, was like, you left him behind on purpose. Anakin's like,
and then
right after that,
Anakin dies in the war.
Pretty much, like, that.
That's fucking dark.
And, well, I mean, I can't remember if Anakin and his dad, like, rectified everything before he died, but I feel like they did it, just because that would be better for the story.
Yeah, definitely.
So after that, and Jaina has to kill Jason, it's just Jaina left, and, like, Han is kind of broken. He comes back repaired-ish, sort of, because he finds out that Jason had a daughter. And so he's, like, hiding his granddaughter from the world, because the granddaughter is also the princess of the Queen of Hopes. And Hopes is a huge dynasty of fucking, is a huge empire, pretty much. But to hide her, because she's Jason Solo's daughter as well, they pretend that she's a war orphan that they found during the war, and they're raising her as their own now.
Damn. And what's Jason Solo's Sith name again? Is Sith Lord name?
Oh, Darth Cadus.
That's a pretty dope name.
I mean, it's really ironic because, you know, the Cadus is the Hermes. It's Hermes' symbol for healing. Like, the hospital symbol with the two entwined snakes?
Oh, Caduceus?
Yeah, it's called a Cadus, but yes.
Oh, word.
I could be wrong about that, actually. You know what? I'm going to look that up later, because I could be wrong about what that is.
Word. I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me.
But, yeah.
That's fucked up, man. But do you think that throughout the Skywalker Solo lineage, do you think that blood for blood, if you go by actual, like, pints of blood spilled, there's no fucking way. But do you think that act for act, the karmic debt of the bloodline, by the time it was all said and done, was about even?
I'm confused. Like, do you mean between the Anakin and Darth Cadus joining the dark side, or Jason joining the dark side versus what the light side did?
Yeah, like all the death and destruction caused by them versus all of the life overall.
Okay, so...
That's a lot of maths, I guess.
Well, the thing is that both of them did it for a reason. Like, okay, so Anakin went to the dark side because he wanted to save Padme. His love. And ironically, because he went to the dark side, he ended up not saving her, because the whole thing he was trying to save her from was him turning to the dark side. He fucked that up real hard.
Yeah, real bad.
But Jason Solo went to the dark side because he mastered this ability called flow walking. And flow walking is time travel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he could step back into the past and view things that happened in the past. So as he's, like, looking back at things, he discovered this great evil. He viewed this great evil, and it stared back at him. And it scared the living shit out of him. And he saw what was going to come, and he decided that the galaxy was not unified in the way it needed to be to overcome this great horror that was coming. And so his whole goal, as he was, like, trying to gain control and power, was to weld the galaxy together to protect it from this oncoming onslaught.
So it came from, like, altruism.
You could say that, like, in the beginning, it absolutely did, but darkness corrupts is the problem. So, at that point, he had decided, well, the thing about Jason is that after the war, he gets captured at one point by the Yuuzhan Vong, and they torture him, and they strip him from the Force.
Completely? Like, he's untethered?
Like, you can't sense Jason Solo, you couldn't sense him in the Force. They basically did what happened to them. They took the Force from them. Because the whole thing about the Force is everything is the Force. The Force is everything. Everything has a living Force in it. The Yuuzhan Vong come from a living planet, like a planet that has a consciousness. And they did something that the planet didn't like, and it stripped them of the Force.
Whoa.
And then it expelled them from its planet. So they're super weird that way. But he lost the Force for a little while, and then he gained it back somehow. I can't really remember how that happened. But, where was it going with this? So he gets the Force back, but he takes this, lesson from it, that there really isn't a light and a dark side of the Force. It's really this thing that's called the Unifying Force, and it's a rainbow. And there's not just black and white, it's shades of gray. So he came from that philosophy to gain dark side powers, that it's not really a light and a dark, it's really just power, and how you use it is what matters.
I can respect that.
But what he didn't realize is that, yes, it is the unifying force, there is both halves, and they're really just shades of gray, but the dark side does corrupt. There is a price. And it took its toll. Like, he started torturing people and, like, being way more dark than Darth Vader ever was.
Damn. So he went, like, full-blown. What do you think of Kylo Ren?
As far as, like, who he was, like, his character could have been so much better. It really could have. Like, we could have gotten the Jason Solo that we should have gotten. Like, if they just made Jason Solo, that would have been phenomenal. They didn't even have to add Jaina or Anakin Solo. They could have. That would have been better if they just kept with the legends, and then we wouldn't be having this dual conversation about everything. but as far as who he was in the movies, I feel like he was just, like, a really shallow character.
That's
like
fair.
Everything, like, he didn't really start getting any depth to him until he started kind of sort of turning back to the light side in the very end of the last movie.
I didn't see the last movie at all, but
I'm so sorry.
Is it super good?
It's not bad.
Okay, I'll take it.
It's not phenomenal or anything. It's just not bad.
Is it a fitting bookend to the saga?
Okay, so do you mind if I give you spoilers?
Oh, dude, spoil the fuck. I'm addicted to spoilers. I'll Google shit. Like, I had the script of Avengers Endgame before the movie came out because I'm a fucking spoiler junkie.
Okay, cool. Okay, so they do this scene where Rhea has discovered where the Emperor Palpatine is hiding, and he is, like, old and fucked up, like, he is, like, decrepit, sitting in a life support chair. I'm pretty sure he's blind and cannot see, because his eyes are white as hell. But anyway, so Rey's got a lightsaber, and Kylo Ren is coming in, he's trying to fight off the Emperor's guards with no weapon whatsoever, because he got his lightsaber tossed into the water. And, he didn't get it tossed in the water. He tossed it himself into the water. He's like, I don't need a weapon anymore. Fuck this thing. Throws it. And, goes after Rey to save Rey. And he gets there. She has surrounded by Imperial guards, has no weapon. She has a lightsaber, and she, like, pulls the lightsaber back and behind her head, like upside down, like she's about to do a lightsaber stance, and then bringing her hand out empty-handed, like she's doing the world's greatest magic trick. And it fucking is, because Kylo Ren just pulls his hand out from behind his back. He's got a fucking lightsaber in his hand, and they're not even in the same room.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like, it was phenomenal, but, like, oh, you can't do this? You can't just, like, make things dematerialize and rematerialize other places? Space magic.
Insane. Space magic. I think that's fuck chaos magic. Space magic is where it's at.
Space magic.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Oh. So, my last scumbag was Jabba the Hutt, but I mean, I really don't even need to talk about him much. I mean,
He oozes scumbaggery.
he's Jabba the Hutt.
He's like the
The Hutt.
fucking the Harvey Weinstein of the Star Wars universe.
I actually don't know much about the Hutts. I know a little bit about them, but Jabba the Hutt is like the king of the Hutt clan, if that makes any sense.
Definitely.
But there's other. I can't remember exactly how the hierarchy works, but there's like a lot of different Hutts. But they like own hundreds of planets, and they have thousands of different species of slaves, and like they have this whole planet that reveres them as gods. And they're descendants of canines, so they're dog people. And
So the Jabba's a dog person?
no, not Jabba. These slaves of theirs are dog
Oh,
people.
okay.
Jabba is definitely a slug person. Like
Word.
straight up, not even like they didn't even try. yeah. So like these guys are these people. I cannot remember what they're called right now. But they revere the Hutts as gods because they came, well, not really gods, but they know better now. But they came down on their spaceships, and they didn't have spaceships at the time. And like, oh, you're gods, you're here to protect us. And the Hutts were like, yeah, we're here to protect you. So we have a contract for you to sign. Once you sign this, we're gonna protect you forever. But you're gonna
Well,
do some shit for us.
that's fucked. That's
And
super
then
fucked
they.
up.
And then they kept them enslaved for like 3,000 years or something like that.
I actually have some kind of interesting information about the Hutt clan.
Okay.
So Zorba the Hutt, Jabba the Hutt's father, was created by ritual magician Paul Davids. He wrote three
Interesting.
books for the expanded universe and the novels.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy, but you know, whatever.
I don't know much about Zorba either. I just know that he's Jabba's father. And Jabba has a brother too. Can't remember his name.
He's definitely the most. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and the first time I saw Jabba the Hutt, I was totally watching Star Wars on TV at my grandparents' house, and I just fucking didn't want to look at him. Like, I didn't want to see him, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And like the best thing about Jabba the Hutt for me is Salacious Crumb. Like, that's the best
Yeah.
thing about Jabba the Hutt. Everything else about, like, he's a fucking slimy fat. He looks like me now that I'm out of shape, but fuck it. I can't.
No. No, nowhere near that.
Dude, I can't fucking deal with it. Jabba the Hutt is grotesque. And then he's got that weird, like, he takes Leia as his, like, weird sex slave
Yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the deal is with that. Besides, like, I know that Jabba is not attracted to Leia at all. Like, not even a little bit. But it's like a
You think he just, like,
symbol.
was fucking with her?
No, I think that it's just like, look what I got tethered to me, but you wish you had this. Like, to
That's true.
whoever he's dealing with, like, he's just like a status symbol. I have Princess fucking Leia on a leash.
That's a good
Come
point.
fuck
To
with
assume
me.
that Jabba the Hutt is stupid just because he looks like a giant fat slug is sort of
Oh no,
doing a
he's wicked.
disservice.
He's He's very smart. He's ruthless and he's smart. There's a reason why he's the king of a crime syndicate
That's so, he's basically fucking Don Corleone.
that owns hundreds of worlds and thousands of species of slaves. Like, he's not stupid in the slightest. In fact, that's
So
the thing that
Jabba's
makes
rich
us
as fuck. Jabba's
rich
like
as
got
fuck.
facts.
Yeah, he has a palace on Tatooine, not because he has to live there, because he likes the climate.
Oh shit. That's
And
fucked up.
he has palaces all over.
I didn't know any of that. I just knew him as like the creepy old fat slug dude.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not even his home planet. His home planet is now Hutta, and it's a swamp. Swamp planet. And it is disgusting, and it stinks, and apparently it's the most beautiful thing to the Hutts. Now Hutta means my jewel.
No shit.
I could be
They're
wrong
like
about
that.
that. My
They're like
hoodies
that.
are very bad.
They're like the alien race from fucking Fairly Odd Parents, who like love gross shit and hate milkshakes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that would describe them pretty close. I don't know how they feel about milkshakes, though. I mean, I've seen what they eat, and it's usually like rodents type things.
Live.
Live, yeah. Whatever,
Nice.
whatever they can get their hands
Oh,
to
raw food
and put in
diet.
their mouth.
Oh,
'Cause like
man.
their hands are placed very specifically close enough to put things in the corner of their mouths. And then they gotta tongue that shit back into their mouth, and it's disgusting, but yeah, they gotta do it. That's how they do that.
Oh man. What's your favorite before we go, what is your favorite animal from the Star Wars mythos? And but speaking of mythos, fuck it. But before you even answer that question, tell us about the mythosaur.
Oh, the Mythosaur skull. Okay,
Yeah.
so they, as far as I know, it doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist anymore. But I don't even know what kind of creature it is. I just know the skull is the symbol of Mandalore, because I guess of how fierce it was in their myths. I don't know anything about it, actually. They never really talk about it. They kind of like jokingly told the Imperial forces that the Mythosaurs were their gods, and they created a fabrication of a full body one to like appease them so they could have a garrison on their planet. And the Mandalorians pretty much laughed at the Imperials the entire time while they did this.
Do you think that the whole like myth of the Mythosaur is just them like using a pun to fuck with people?
I mean, it's just possible. They have a very strange sense of humor.
I like that. And there's a lot of fucking animals in like Womp Rats. I don't know what that looks like.
The Womp Rats was sketchy looking. Imagine a Final Fantasy rat that is meant to kill you, and you pretty much got it.
Okay.
Just a slightly monstrous looking rat that runs on two legs.
Oh, fuck that. It's bipedal. I don't want to fuck with a bipedal rat. Slap the splitter. That's not a thing. Oh, my God, dude.
It's more like fucking chicken style than Master Splinter style, though. So it's like a fluff ball with a rat in the face and teeth and two legs. I don't
All
know. I
right.
think it has arms. It might have arms. I don't even remember.
That still sounds kind of shitty, though. I don't want to deal with
But
that.
they're fast as fuck. I mean, Luke is flying a sky hopper at them. He's basically flying an airplane at these things and shooting them out of the air. So they gotta be fast enough that they can stay ahead, or at least semi close to the speed of a flying object through hurtling through the sky.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's not a thing you want to run into on a walk.
Well, no. I mean,
And
Tatooine is dangerous.
they were dew
But
farmers.
yeah, they were moisture farmers. They were getting sucking whatever moisture they could get out of the air, because water's precious.
Blue milk is bountiful, though.
Yeah, blue milk is bountiful. You can find it pretty much any planet. Luke literally found the planet of, well, I guess it was green milk or something, but my point is he found the planet of colored milk creatures, and he's just like sucking it straight from the teat.
Dude, I'd go there. You know how I feel about milk. I would go there in a heartbeat.
I don't know, man. Those creatures, that might not even be actual milk. I mean, you don't know.
Fuck it,
It's
it's
Luke
fake.
Skywalker. He's by himself on this planet. He looks like a trippy, like he's been doing some hard shit while he's been like ostracizing himself from people because he thinks he fucked up with Kylo Ren, which he did, but I mean, it wasn't completely his fault. He felt the
You're
presence of
right.
Palpatine and got it way off.
He didn't. He, damn. So he's kind of rusty.
Yeah, well, I mean, the dark side hasn't been around in like 30s. No, probably not 30. Yeah, but I don't even know how old Kylo Ren's supposed to be. But if he's like in his mid to late 20s, then yeah, 30 years have gone by and the dark side hasn't been a thing.
Damn.
I don't even know how long the gap is between Return of the Jedi and, crap, Force Awakens is.
Let me consult my Oracle real quick. Years. You got it right
Is
on the
it
nose,
30 years?
dog. It's 30
Oh, yeah.
years. That's awesome.
There you go.
Oh,
30
man.
years of no dark side. Oh, and Snoke's, I'm pretty sure, is a failed Palpatine clone.
I wonder, because I heard that he ended up like not really being integral to the story at all.
No. But I mean, he is because as Rey and Kylo Ren are walking through this dark side emporium that Darth Sidious has created. There are like Snoke's clones sitting in vats in various places. So they
Damn,
look.
okay.
I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're like failed clones that just didn't quite get what Palpatine was going for.
That makes sense. That's interesting. I like
But
that.
from a, I don't think I actually have a favorite animal.
That's
Well,
fair.
actually, I do. I do. I cannot remember what they're called right now, but they are a mammal that projects a force-proof barrier type thing. Basically, if you're within a certain radius of these creatures, Yasamari, that's what they're called. If you're within a certain radius of these creatures, you cannot use, feel, or touch the force.
Shit.
Yeah, they're crazy. There's this smuggler slash gunrunner slash pirate. He's a scumbag too, but I mean, he's mediocre at best. Talon Karad, he has them as pets, and he just like
That's a nice fucking way to avoid getting fucked up by some force sensitives. Just be surrounded by like signal blockers, basically.
Grand Admiral Thrawn actually brings a bunch onto his Star Destroyer just to stop Jedi from fucking with his Star Destroyer.
Damn, that
Grand
smog
Admiral
is with the smog.
Thrawn is an interesting character in itself. He's someone that if you were interested in reading into a story, Grand Admiral Thrawn is a great story to read into. They wrote a book recently that's just his introduction into the Academy and what he had to go through as the only alien in this Academy.
Damn, so it's like a whole like racial thing, but with
Well,
space
yeah.
people.
Well, the Empire was like incredibly xenophobic. Like, if you weren't human, you were trash.
I did not know that. But that makes sense because it means all after the fucking Third Reich.
Pretty much. Like, if you were not human, you weren't worth anything. Like, you were a second-class citizen. So the
You could be a clone.
entire.
You could be a clone though, and they had no problem.
Well, yeah, because you're human.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, you're still human. I mean, you may not have been born normally, but you're still a human. But even still, the clone soldiers were treated as second class citizens too. They were basically droids in the eyes of the public. People thought they were basically droids. A lot of the public did.
That makes sense. But before we get off here, I actually am starting a new podcast. called
Oh, dope.
Talking Real, which is a marijuana movie podcast. And I would love it if you would come on for a Star Wars series in which we do an episode for each Star Wars film.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm down with
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
I'll have to rewatch the movie so I can remember everything. They've done so much to the original trilogy, like adding stuff in. Like,
digitizing things like eyes on the Ewoks and stuff.
They did that. They had Han Solo shoot first, obviously.
Yeah.
They added more black people.
They did digitize black people in. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't remember this one guy in Return of the Jedi. He's at the war council. And he's looking at Han Solo, and he nods, and he looks back at Mon Mantha, and then he nods. And I'm pretty sure that's all he does is just looks back and forth between them and nods.
That's for the scumbag George Lucas episode. Like, I'm pretty sure he was a proponent for, like, he openly was like, you shouldn't change things in movies, you know, you shouldn't do it. And then he was like, you know what, now that digital effects are cool, I'm going to go back and do some shit. And then he was like, yeah. Yeah, see, yeah.
He did do that, like, the lightsabers became redigitized, and, well, let's see. Lightsabers got digitized and laser fire and obviously all that. Because before that, what they were doing is they were marking the film to create the laser fire and the lightsabers, like physically marking it.
That's crazy. Do you know how they filmed The Mandalorian?
Not really. I've not looked
so...
into it at all.
Jon Favreau was the showrunner of The Mandalorian, and he filmed the Lion King remake. And the interesting thing about the Lion King remake is it was completely filmed in VR. So they built this digitized thing, and they sort of, he used the skills he learned from that to direct The Mandalorian. But what they did is they didn't use VR. They built a studio that was a complete fucking dome. And there were screens all around where the actors were. And they projected, or they didn't project, but on the screens was the set. So, like, there'd be a little bit of practical rock effects or whatever, but then the rest of the planet and the background were just on the screen. And the camera could do a full 360 pan around the actors and always have background in it. So they, like, filmed the digitized background live action with the actors.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think that's to come from marking film for lasers to just having a fucking 360 room to play with in virtual reality is pretty dope.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that's how they did either of those things.
You should check a video out on it because it's really I did a horrible justice explaining it. Also, before we go, you've been to the Star Wars theme park. Is that correct?
No, I want to. I have not gone yet.
Thought you went. Well, you definitely got to do that, and we'll have an episode about that, because if it's anything like the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, it's going to be...
I haven't done that either.
Oh, man.
I want to do that, too.
We damn. I haven't been there since they put Diagon Alley in as an attraction. They're putting a bunch more ride, so I don't know what any of that's like.
I want to go. I want my one to choose me. I want to go drink butterbeer. Like, I want to go.
Dude, it's so delicious. The butterbeer is non-alcoholic, but they'll also sell you shots of rum. And they have a beer that they brew only at the theme park called Hogshead Brew. And it is delicious. It tastes like Yingling, but magical.
We're going to go someday.
Let's do it, man. I have every other weekend off, and I'm down. We can podcast the whole adventure.
Awesome.
But before I get off, I'm going to go help put the baby to sleep and everything. Is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners?
No, I hope you guys really enjoy this, because I enjoyed talking about it. I really do. It's not very often I get to talk Star Wars, because, you know, it's kind of an esoteric conversational topic.
Yeah, well, this is the longest episode of the podcast I've ever recorded.
I see this. Yeah.
I'm super, super excited about it, man. I had a lot of fun. And we will do it again, because we haven't even scratched the fucking surface of Star Wars.
Oh no, I want to do a Mandalorian episode. I know it's not really scumbag material, but yeah, I love the
No,
Mandalorian
that's definitely,
as a
we'll find a
culture.
way to fit it in. We'll find a way to fit
Okay.
it in. Fuck it. But I'm about it. But I'm hop off here, brother. Thank you. I love you. It has been fantastic to talk to you, and I cannot wait to do it again.
Oh yeah, me neither, buddy. It's been great. I enjoyed this.
Awesome, man. Take it easy and tell the family I said hello.
Oh, will do.
Right on, man. Have a good one.
You too, Bobby.
There you have it, scumbags and scumbagettes. That is it for our scumbag Star Wars episode. I had a whole lot of fun talking to my friend Zach about this, and I cannot wait to have him back on and to get him on the other podcast with Chris once we get that up and rolling. I'm super stoked about it. Thank you guys once again for all of the support. And remember, everyone love everyone. And in the words of the immortal Bill Hicks, it's just a ride. Take it easy, guys.